this particular text, we are only going to look at two verses. But these two verses are actually vital verses to read very carefully. Right? Let's take a look at what Paul wrote on this subject. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And the word dwells in you, in this case here, can be translated among you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why suddenly Paul jumped into from foundation into temple? Now, remember, in the laying of the foundation, the cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we call the foundation already, right? It's based upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. But what is being erected? Now, what is being built? Well, basically, it is the church. In this case, the church at Corinth. But sometimes when the people are so used to the church and they do not understand sometimes or will take for granted the value of the church, Paul had to use another imagery to help them understand and appreciate what is being discussed or what is being taught at this point of time. And it is to do with the temple of God. Now, when we think of the temple of God, to the Jewish-minded people, straight away they think in terms of the tabernacle or the temple of Solomon, right? Or in this case here, the temple of Jerusalem, but still was existing at that point of time. But in Paul's understanding here, the church is actually compared to the temple of God. And that is important. So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, which we'll read later on, as we examine this particular text, where Paul says, you are the temple of God. He's referring to the church, right? So when we look at a church, we must look at it very carefully and ask ourselves, do we understand it as we should? As the Jews look at a tabernacle as the dwelling place of God, look at the temple of Solomon as the dwelling place of God, Paul tells them, when we look at the church, we should look at it as if it is indeed the temple of God. So why is this the place? Why do we need this approach? Because we need to ask ourselves whether there's a sense of reverence, whether there's a sense of regard. There's a sense of holiness when we regard the house of God. And that is going to be important. Right? So as we look at this very carefully, in Exodus 25 and verse 8, you may refer to the text on your own, right? God talks about it as his sanctuary. God tells Moses, tell the children of Israel, they are to build a sanctuary. And this is where God said, and I will dwell there. I will be among the people. That is the significance of a sanctuary, right? It's not your regular house. It's not your own house. It's going to be God's own house. And it's called the sanctuary, Exodus 25, right? Now, in 2 Chronicles, we see the dedication of the temple. Well, David had already provided the larger part of the building of the temple. And he said, this temple, this house must be magnificent. Why? Because it is the house of God. Now this is important. So Solomon attended to what his father had instructed him to do. So he went on to do it and he built the temple very, very carefully. And then in 2 Chronicles 6, he dedicated that building, that temple to the Lord. And the Lord responded. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he tells the people, if my people call by my name, they will pray at this place here, I will listen to them. In 2 Chronicles 7:15, God sanctified the temple. He says, and I will sanctify this. And this is important. So when we read here that the Spirit of God dwells in the temple, in the church, as it were, then we have a very special regard on this matter here. So each week when we come to church, but sometimes we look at a church and we see it as a building. And after a while, we do not know how to regard it as we should. But it is more than just a building. It is a temple. It is a temple of God. It is a tabernacle of God. It's a sanctuary of God. It is the dwelling place of God. We must bear this in mind. Right? Now, what is the danger that Paul is trying to alert them to consider? And this is where he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God. Now, the word defiling is important, right? So in the book of Ezekiel, which we have been reading recently, Ezekiel was given a vision as to what was happening. And he saw abominations, he saw idols in the temple of God. When you bring in other things which are not meant to be part of it, it becomes an abomination. There were very few things in the temple of God. There was there's the altars that will be there, right? The altar of offering, there's an incense altar, there would be the laver, there would be the showbread table, there would be the lamps that will light up the place. There would be the curtain that separate the holy place from the holy of holies. Now, there were very few things inside, but you will never find statues there for worship. But suddenly, they began to introduce things that are foreign, things which should not be there, and God calls them abominations. And God tells Ezekiel, abominations. So what were the people doing? They were coming to the house of the Lord, and these idols had no house of their own. They were taking their residence in the house of God, in the temple of God. So how does God respond to that? And God was absolutely angry. And so he told the people that this is defilement. And it's important for us to take note of what this defilement means. Right? In other words, when God sanctified it, he consecrated it. When they were now no longer worshiping God as they should, they were in fact going to the house of God, but they were worshiping idols. As far as God was concerned, the temple is now defiled. It is now deconsecrated. It's now dirty. It cannot be used anymore. And so God, in chapter 8 particularly, all the way down, you see God plans to depart. From 8 to 10, God slowly shows how his glory, which represents his presence, will be there and it will be taken away bit by bit. Right? It will be there at the threshold of inside the temple to the threshold of the temple, outside the temple, and then into the plains, and then goes all the way back to heaven. So the glory of God, once it has left the temple, what is the temple? It's just an empty house. It's just an empty building. It has lost its meaning. It has lost its purpose in being a temple of God. As far as God is concerned, it is no longer his temple. His glory has departed. It's gone back to heaven. Now, how does this apply? What is Paul really trying to say? If anyone defiles the temple of God, what does it mean? Now, this is where the situation applies into the church. First, there were these factions going on. From chapter 1, the factions were highlighted. Then you look at the carnality of the mindset of the people. The people were introducing all sorts of ideas. All factions began to grow. So certain groups believe in this, certain groups adhere to that, certain groups promote the other thing, and so you have a lot of cross-purposes. And the church was now no longer one. They were no longer, as it were, in church to worship the Lord. They were now vying for followers. They were following this person, that person, the other person. And Paul warns Do you understand what you are doing? Do you know that this is in danger of defiling the temple of God? Now, that is a serious word of warning, obviously, right? So when we see a lot of these things, we have to sound the alarm to the whole church and to those who are perpetrating these thoughts, right? That if they want to carry on doing all these things here, if the factions continue to pursue their own agenda, if they're all going to end up quarreling with each other, if carnality is further promoted, and if the people are not seeking the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of the world, and they are all bringing all of these things into the church and seeking to make the church in their own image, wherein is the danger and the sin? And Paul tells us what it is. This is going to end up defiling the temple. And Paul warns, whoever defiles the temple, God will destroy him. Now, in the Old Testament, God allowed the temple to be destroyed. But in the New Testament, it's not the church that will be destroyed. Will the church be destroyed in the physical sense? That's only a building. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, made up of people, who are his children, who are his servants, who are faithful, who are diligent, who are true, they will be protected. But those who are there and they are going to end up in danger of defiling the church, Paul sends a word of warning. God will destroy them. Now that to me is a frightening word, right? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And Paul reminds them, what is the temple of God? One, the temple of God is a holy place. It is his tabernacle. It is his sanctuary. It is a place of refuge. It is a place where we call it a temple where God resides, where God dwells. How would anyone dare to come and do this for whatever excuses the person may have? Right? Now, this is something we don't want to end up being guilty of, because we will suffer very severe consequences, very obviously. Right? So this is something that we need to think about very carefully, and we have to ask ourselves how this actually works. And this is vital. Right? So here is where we are now. What is our challenge? What are some of the lessons we must take away from today's reading? And our first lesson to me is to ask ourselves whether we have a high enough regard of the church. How do we regard the church? Right? Now, I regard the church very highly, in more ways than one, simply because of what Paul tells us what a church is. It's a tabernacle, it's a temple, it's a church of God, he went on further to talk about how it's a bride of Christ. Right? So this is a very, very important. We need to regard the church far more than we are, than we should. Well, I must want to give to you 5 different ways in which we ought to improve in our regard for the church, right? So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul wrote, the church is the body of Christ. How can we mutilate the body of Christ? How can we defile the body of Christ? We can't, we should not. It's sacrilegious, it is wrong, it is sinful. Ephesians 2:19, we are told that we make up the household of God. We are a family of God. Why would we allow anyone from the outside to come in and say things about us or to us, criticizing this, that, or the other? This is our household. Why should we allow others to come in? Ephesians 2:20, Paul reaffirms this, that the church is the dwelling place of God. No question about it. If this is God's house, if this is God's dwelling place, why do we allow all sorts of ideas and thoughts to come in that will take the place of God and his word and his teachings? And the answer is we shouldn't. And then beautifully in Revelation 19:7, the church is presented as the bride of Christ the Lord. Now imagine all of these descriptions of the Lord concerning the church. So how should we regard the church? Well, what's one thing we must seek to do? We must guard the oneness that we have in our church. We must guard the sacredness, the sanctity of a church. There will be people who may say things against us in any way. And our part is to stand firm and say, nope, this is the house of the Lord. This is where we are. We form the body of Christ, and we are going to stay where we are. And this is something we want to seriously consider. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, how he has regarded the church, how he gave his life to save the church, how he has sanctified it and taught it and preparing it until the day he will be united together with the church forever. We pray that you would teach us how to love our church, to love the church of the Lord Jesus, and to be true and faithful and diligent in guarding and keeping our church. We pray that wonders that we pray about will be fulfilled, and we will see this reality. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.